This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Continuing our tour around the SEC, preseason drills underway, and they are in Fayetteville. Our man Chuck Barrett, the voice of the Hogs, joining us here today to get a little preview. Good morning, Chuck. Good to hear from you again.
Well, it's nice to talk to you guys. I hope you've had a good summer.
It's been a good summer, but we begin on a somber note. Chuck, you have been around that program even before you became the play-by-play voice for a long, long time. Can you put into perspective to those of us who aren't in the state of Arkansas just how much Frank Broyles, who passed this week, meant to the university?
Well, and it wasn't just the university. I don't know that there's any one man who's had more effect on one place than Frank Broyles had on the state of Arkansas. He came here in 1958, 60 years ago, and the Razorbacks and Frank Broyles are synonymous, and he was the icon of icons in our state. We've sent a man to the White House from our state, but he's not as big as Frank Broyles, and I say that with all due respect, and I think he would tell you the same thing today. Just a giant of a man, and just a lasting legacy on so many aspects of life in Arkansas that transcend football. He was just one of those guys you thought would live forever. You know, there's always a patriarch in people's families, your grandfather, someone you just don't think they're ever going to die. And Coach Broyles was kind of that way. And 92's it's a full life. And he said he had a charmed life, and I wouldn't argue.
Now we get ready for the, shifting it back to the football season coming up for Arkansas. Chuck, as you look at preparations for the upcoming season, where are the hotspots? Where are the critical questions heading into this season as people battle for a spot on the 2D?
Well, from the outside looking in, it's obviously the switch to the 3-4 on defense. I mean, they've changed everything that they're doing on defense, and that is a critical area. Whether they remain in the 4-3 or whether they switch schemes entirely as they have, it's a critical area. That was their Achilles heel last year, and they know they've got to be better in that department. I really think, though, that the most critical area is the offensive line. I thought that's where they regressed last year. And when you look at Brett Bielema's style of offense and you look at the philosophy in football of controlling the game, managing the game by running the football, if you can't run the ball and if you can't protect your quarterback, when you get to third down, you have no chance to control the game. And if you're not as good as you need to be on defense, you can't get them on, or you can't keep them on the sidelines, and you can't hide them with an offense that churns up 7 or 8 minutes per drive. And they couldn't do that last year. And they were unable to answer other teams' scores with their usual long sustained drives, which is kind of Brett's hallmark. But I think they've got to be better in that area. To me, if they have a good offensive line this year, I'm going to tell you that covers up a lot of weak spots. And, I think a lot of football people would tell you that. So, to me, that's the area where they've got to be a whole lot better.
I'm sure Austin Allen would like that offensive line play to be that way, too.
You know, it affected him physically. He took a beating. But if you look, his interception totals went up at the end. And a lot of that had to do with pressure. And, you know, pressure equals picks. I don't care who you are. You got to keep them off your quarterback. And Austin showed the effects of that as the season wore on.
Now, also, we talk about question marks, and you mentioned running the football without Raleigh Williams, and that was a tragic thing to happen, but he'll make a positive out of it. What's the situation look like at running for Brett Bielema?
Well, depth is obviously an issue. Devois Whaley was Raleigh's backup, and he's the number one back. He'll be a sophomore this year. I'll tell you a guy to watch. You probably remember Aaron Hayden, running back at Tennessee some years back, and a pretty good one. His son Chase is from Memphis, and he's a freshman this year, and he's really good, and he's going to play. He's He's a solid guy. He's one that's going to be able to make guys miss. He's an exciting running back. And, you know, we got a transfer from South Carolina named Dave Williams, who is he's going to provide some solid depth there. He was a contributor at South Carolina, not a, you know, not a standout guy. But he's a grad transfer, so he's immediately eligible. And sometimes a change of scenery really helps a young man, and I think that's been the case here. And he's taken to the, you know, to the ground game philosophy, I guess, if you want to call it that. And he'll be the number two guy for the first ball game. But I'll tell you what, Chase Hayden's going to be a name to remember. He's got a chance to be the next great one here.
Great stuff. Chuck Barrett, voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks, joining us here this morning. You know, looking back over Brett Bielema's career there in Fayetteville, Chuck, the one thing that pops up to me is Arkansas wins a game every year that they probably shouldn't win, maybe an underdog role, but they seem to lose one or two that they don't have any business losing. Is that something you've picked up on? Is it a theme there? Is it something that they're saying, hey, we got to avoid having this happen?
Well, it's tough to crack that glass ceiling in the West, number one. But I think that you look at last year, they were up, you know, they had big leads in their last two games. Blew a big, big halftime lead at Missouri, big halftime lead in the bowl game, up 24 to nothing in the bowl game at Charlotte against Virginia Tech, and lose that ball game. And I think it goes back to the inability to run the ball. And I know that sounds a little bit odd, but you're going to take a shot from a team in the second half. They're going to throw the ball a little bit, and if they make a good play or something, they get a touchdown. What you've got to do is get the football back, drive it down the field, run the ball, regain control of the game, and that's how you, you know, that's how you keep another team from coming back, is you just don't let their offense back out on the field. Missouri and Virginia Tech both had quick scores in the second halves of those ball games, and Arkansas could not answer with a sustained drive. And the other team picked up the momentum. The answer to your question, though, I think is because of the fact that, just very frankly, this team has been a work in progress. They took a step back last year, and I think they'll tell you that. I think they were on schedule up until last year, but they took a step back last season. This is an important year in that regard. To me, when I look at the schedule and talk about games you got to win, things like that, TCU is an early ball game, second game of the year. But the next game after an open day is Texas A&M. And Texas A&M's kind of had Arkansas's number. Arkansas is not good enough to come back and make a run in the West if they lose that conference opener consistently. And that's what's been happening. I think it's the most critical game on the schedule. That is one of those games they've been losing that they certainly could have won. And I think it's an important game for them this year. If they win that ball game, I think they've got a chance to build some real momentum off that. They lose that ball game, it may be about like it's been the last few years.
And you look down a little bit further on, of course, South Carolina on the road, Alabama on the road, Ole Miss on the road, LSU on the road. The schedule is daunting anyway because of being in the SEC West. The opener against Florida A&M on a Thursday in Little Rock. And I know we've asked you about this before, and you've spent a lot of your life in Little Rock. Does that with all of the renovations going on in Fayetteville and all that, is Little Rock something absolutely committed to by Arkansas, getting that presence there at that little stadium?
Well, when you look at the history of the Arkansas program and you look at the economics of our state when the Razorbacks really, you know, came into the form that they are now as, you know, a statewide brand, a lot of the money came from the eastern part of the state back when, you know, the Delta areas of the South were, you know, that's where the money was. And so they played in Little Rock all those years. So the farmers, this is the truth, so the farmers could harvest in the morning and come to the football games in the afternoon and be back home for church Sunday morning. And that's how it worked for years and years and years. Economics have changed that. Arkansas has got a contract to play one more game in Little Rock after this season. I think they're going to play Vanderbilt down there next year. There's been no commitment beyond that, and there's not been talks about a commitment beyond that. So I think that pretty much speaks for itself.
No kidding. Interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Chuck, well, as Barry mentioned, it gets started sooner at Arkansas than anybody else in the league with that Thursday night game against Florida A&M and then TCU coming to Fayetteville the next week. I know you're very excited, as everybody else is out there in Fayetteville and the whole state of Arkansas. And we always appreciate your time, Chuck. Always a lot of interesting analysis. And I'm sure we'll touch base with you again in the coming weeks.
Hey, this is the best time of the year. Everybody's undefeated.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what I like. Yep. Thank you very much, Chuck.
All right, man. Thank you.
Man, great stuff from Chuck Barrett, voice of the Hogs on our Dreamland.